What's up, everybody? It's the Michaela B. Happy New Year. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It's time for the Purple Pants Podcast.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Purple Pants Podcast. I am your host, Bryce Isaiah. Are you ready for some structure? Okay, get it on ready. Get it on ready because we bringing some structure to your life. This episode, how everybody been doing? Have you enjoyed your 3-day long weekend? I know I did. Okay, giving the salute to Dr. Martin Luther King. Okay, what he was talking about is still what we are talking about today, still what we are fighting for, still can apply very much today in 2021. It could seem discouraging to some that, you know, 50 years later, we're still fighting for equality, still fighting for freedom. However, for me, my glass is always half full, and I hope that in my lifetime, we will be able to see equality and change, but it won't happen if we ignore, if we dismiss. It will happen if we speak up. It will happen if we talk about our experiences. It will happen if we talk about our truths. And so that's what I choose to do. And that's the life that I continue to live. And so I'm very grateful for my ancestors that have come before me. And I'm grateful and I'm hopeful that the future will be brighter. And that's on period, poo. I'm excited for this week's episode. If you guys could make sure you are subscribed to my podcast, Purple Pants Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, whatever it is that you get your podcast from, write a review, give your baby boy some 5 stars, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. So this weekend, you know, I had an extra day and baby boy needed it. Okay, first of all, I need all the extra days. But I really just kind of hung out. I watched some movies this weekend. I watched One Night in Miami, which I didn't know was directed by Regina King. You know, I stand for Regina King. And it was really a great movie. Cassius Clay, Jim Brown, Sam Cooke, and Malcolm X. First of all, it just gave me chills watching a movie that this was an actual event that happened. And just all of that greatness was in that hotel room on that night in Miami. And it really explores those 4 black men and their responsibility in being successful black men during that time and during the civil rights movement. And especially given now the state of our country, just was really an uplifting and powerful movie. I told Barb about it. Barb was like, oh my God, it was so great. And then Sabrina Thompson Mitchell, my Survivor sister, you know, I was watching her Instagram and she was posting about the movie American Skin, directed by Nate Parker. And I had saw that it was coming out. And so it was on Amazon Prime. And baby, I had forked over the $6 to watch it. And again, another really powerful movie regarding a black father who loses his son to police and kind of like his fight to take back justice. And it's just really a crazy, empowering movie. Just makes you think about, you know, the double standard in which that we face today. So I was just really kind of just catching up on my movies, and I, you know, had some epiphanies. I've been taking my baths. First of all, y'all know I love a bath, but I hate my bathtub in my house. Where I used to live, I had an amazing bathtub. It was a crawfoot and I could just enjoy it. But I always am like, I hate my bathtub. So I've been really trying to take more baths. Even though I don't enjoy my bathtub, I still have a bathtub. So I have been trying to take, you know, bath every other day, you know, set the tone, get my music right, and be up in my suddenly and bubblies. I love it. But what I realized when I take my baths, I really have great, like, thought processes. And it made me kind of reflect a little bit on going back to my recent podcast, Vulnerable. And, you know, I shared some vulnerabilities with you guys. I shared, you know, I'm just struggling a little bit with kind of just finding my what, where, and why purpose. And especially, and I feel like being in a pandemic, being working from home, single, I feel like all of those kind of sort of add to the madness of that. And while I was taking a bath the other day, I really came to this conclusion that I feel like my life is lacking structure. And what I mean by structure is that, you know, I'm not in love with my job, but you know, it pays my bills, so I'm grateful for that. But and just me trying to find motivation. And you know, I used to go running all the time. I don't really have the interest to go running, and so I'm trying to get that back. And I really thought that I was like, you know what, Bryce, you are not giving yourself structure. And when the world was open once upon a time, and I'm working my 4 or 5 jobs and I've got this and that, what I was failing to realize was that my life in itself was giving me structure. Like, I had to get up, had to get dressed, I had to go to work. At work, there was a set of structure that I had to live by. Then I had to leave my one job, go to my other job, you know, do that, then get home. And I was just thinking like, wow, I really don't have structure. I set my alarm clock. If I have to be to work at, or supposed to be logged in at 8:30, my alarm clock is for 8:25. And so this past week, I really was focusing on writing out my day. Now, I know that might sound kind of cray cray, like, what do you mean writing out your day? But I really started to write out a structure for myself. And it's like, and I know this might sound crazy, but for me, you know, I'm like, let me try to do this. And so, I mean, I was very detailed in the sense of like, okay, let me stop getting up at 8:25. Let me actually get up at maybe 8 o'clock. Get up, make your coffee, do your workout, brush your hair, brush your teeth, get dressed. And that was a big one for me, because working from home, I just roll out of bed and am sitting in front of my computer and in my nighty clothes and staying in my nighty clothes all day. And I realized that, you know, getting dressed really can, it does something for me. And so I had been trying this out last week, and I really did notice a difference in my productivity and my mood and just like, you know, my overall mental health being in a better place. And so I really, this week, when I was in the bathtub, I'm like, you know what, I need to kick it up a notch and add more to this structure that I want to give myself, because I think that I was lacking that. And I was even having a conversation with Wendeezy about it the other day. And he was like telling me what his structure of his mornings look like. And he feels like without that, he somewhat feels lost. And I'm like, wow, that's, you know, something that I didn't think about necessarily. I am, you know, always on the go and I've always got things to do, but I'm not necessarily giving myself the structure of the day to day, the this and that. And I really think that that plays a role in some of the things. And so I'm trying to build upon that. And, you know, I'm on a road to a better Bryce, and I'm learning and, you know, figuring this thing out. And I was like, you know what, let me share this with the posse, because I'm being so open about when I'm not feeling great. But let me share about some of the things and techniques that I'm using, because, you know, we go together. So let me know, Purple Pants Posse, what type of structure you put into your own personal life to help you stay focused on the goals and your tasks and just literally getting through the day. So I just figured I'd drop that on by. But I'm super excited for this week's episode. So let me give you the rundown. We've got the church announcements on the menu this week. Big Bay, Prodigal Son is back. So I'm giving you all the tea on Prodigal Son. We've got Purple Pants Picks, Advice with Bryce, and Freak of the Week. So now you got the structure of this episode. Let's get into the church announcements. On this week's church announcements, I've got 2 church announcements I want to talk about. The first church announcements are, I just want to give my condolences to the family of Cassandra Jackis. You may remember her from season 10 of Survivor Palau. Well, she recently lost her battle to cancer January 8th. And I know last November, it was revealed that she had a very rare form of cancer. So I'm just sad to report that we lost another sister. And I just want my thoughts and prayer to be with her family. Also, I want to send my thoughts and prayers to the Penner family. You know, Jonathan Penner and his wife, Stacy Penner. She lost her battle to ALS and passed on January 11th. We know that they've been very vocal in the survivor community about raising awareness and raising funds for ALS. And I just want to send my thoughts and my prayers to the Penner family. Has to be such a horrible loss, and I just want to send my condolences to both the Penner and the Jackis family.
Hey, Purple Pants Podcast, it's the team from Escaping Reality, the podcast where four friends watch and analyze reality competition shows to distract from the world outside our window for a brief moment in time.
We have been watching and discussing Survivor season by season until we get through all 40. We dive deep into conversations about strategy, diversity, production, and so much more.
As a follow-up to our episode about Survivor Kageon, Bryce joined us to chat about his time on the show and what he's been up to since then. As members of the Purple Pants Posse, we think you'll love this episode.
Our episode with him comes out on January 20th, so be sure to listen on Apple or Spotify. Make sure to subscribe if you like what you hear and follow us on Instagram at Escaping Reality Pod for even more fun. Big thanks again to Bryce for escaping reality with us.
It's a man who, it's a man you, me and potatoes like we're cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a man you, me and potatoes like we're cooking up a great stew.
And keeping the menu rolling, I feel like I've been waiting a year and a half, even though I really ain't been that long. It's been maybe like 6 months, to talk about the Prodigal Son. Yes. So those of you that are new to the podcast, those of you that are new, ain't really get up on it. Prodigal Son is a show I discovered that comes on Fox 9 p.m. on Monday nights. And it is really a rather interesting, weird show. It's a crime show. It follows Malcolm Whitley, who is a profiler of the NYPD. Malcolm is a young man who is wealthy. His father, Martin Whitley, used to be a surgeon. They come from a long line of money, but his daddy, Martin Whitley, was also the surgeon serial killer. And when it came out that Martin Whitley was the surgeon serial killer, the family was in shambles. We know the mother, Jessica Whitley, who is one of my favorite characters. She had to, like, you know, rebuild her life. Malcolm's got a sister named Ainsley Whitley, who struggles to find her place in the family. And now her sister is a reporter. So that's like the main characters. So we know, listen, we get right up into it because I don't got time. Okay. So listen, you don't know, Prodigal Son, 9 p.m. Monday nights, go do your research, get caught up. But the season finale ended first season with Ainsley, the goody two-shoe sister, kind of struggling to find her place, killing the father's accomplice. Okay, that's how the season ended, period. So we all like clutching our pearls, like, what's going on? Not Ainsley. So I watched the first episode of season two, and I'm gonna be honest, Purple Pants Posse, I was indifferent. I was like, do I like this? We're not. So I was really unsure if whether or not I was feeling the new season after watching it when it aired. And so, you know, Barb watches The Prodigal Son. So a couple of days later, me and Barb were talking, and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot to talk to you about Prodigal Son. And my mom just thought it was so good. And I was like, really, girl? Like, I didn't really think it was so good. And so my mom had pointed out a lot of these key things that I felt like maybe I might have missed in the excitement of the episode. So I was like, all right, girl, I'm gonna rewatch it. So then every day since we've talked the original, Barb's been like, did you rewatch it? Did you watch it? So, I just rewatched the first episode, and there were some things that I picked up on that I did not originally pick up on. I don't know why I didn't pick up on these things. However, it still leads me to, like, if I'm gonna judge this first episode from, like, a 1 to a 10, I'm probably leaning in on, like, a 6.5 or a 7. Just because I felt like the first episode, the first season
were so delicious. But I'm still hanging in there. I'm still rocking out because there were a lot of things that we kind of like discovered this episode. And I feel like the writers of the show, the director, they might want to like slow walk us a little bit, because anybody that watched Chronicle Sun last season, it was a lot. Every episode, it was something. And don't get me wrong, on this episode, it was a lot. So the episode starts off with Malcolm being crazy ass Malcolm, as always, doing extra shit. So it starts off where there is a penthouse slasher, and Malcolm is standing on the edge of a building. First of all, I'm like, what in the hell is you doing on the edge of this building, Malcolm? And it's this guy who looks like he might be getting ready to jump off the bridge. Then Malcolm starts profiling him, and Malcolm's like, says the guy's name. He's like, how do you know who I am? Malcolm's like, I profiled you, okay? I figured you was a slasher, and I figured you'd be here tonight. Child, the slasher pull out a knife, start coming at baby boy. He almost falls off the edge of the balcony. Malcolm catches it, and we get to see our people, Detective Danny and Detective JT and Arisa, who is the coroner, which I don't know why she helping out on the case. Girl, shouldn't she be in the coroner's office? Anyway, the guy doesn't die, but in the middle of Malcolm almost falling off of the balcony, holding the guy's hand as he's dangling, the phone rings, and guess who it is, okay? It's none other than Martin Whitley, like, my boy! Hello, my boy! How have you? I haven't talked to you in months. And Malcolm's like, I'm kind of busy, Dad. I'm kind of busy. And so the dad's like, I'm coming home. And we all like, ooh, coming home. But then the dad's like, no, I'm not coming home. I'm going back to Claremont. And Malcolm's like, why are you going back to Claremont? Now, mind you, all of this is happening while Malcolm is tied to a radiator, almost hanging off of a building, holding somebody's hand who's dangling off like at least 50 feet up in the air. So then the dad is like, you know, the place that he was at, or he was sent to due to COVID. Okay, I like the real life themes that Fox is trying to weave in, that, you know, the COVID outbreak, they're moving him back to Claremont. So from that little bit of scene, we have learned, well, I'm going to just tell you the tea that I have learned. So we know that Danny, the detective, Malcolm and Danny last season were having not a love affair, but there were romantic vibes. They don't touch on any of the romantic vibes this episode, which maybe was why I was like, okay, I want to know what's going on with Malcolm and Danny. The other detective, JT, we learned that he has been promoted to acting head of criminal crimes. Now, we know that Lieutenant Aroy is normally in that place. So I'm like, well, where the hell is Gail? I think it's Gail Aroy. Well, if you guys watched last season, you know that the person that Ainsley killed, who Jessica Whitley was like dating for information, he went in to protect Jessica, Lieutenant Aroy, and got shot. So he in rehab. So JT is now the active head of crimes, period. I'm like, yes, come on, give a brother acting head of major crimes. I'm like, yes, JT. Even though JT's a little bland, he about action, but he not really in front of the camera scene. So we see Malcolm still is having his nightmares, okay? He's waking up in the middle of the night, still got his mouth guard on, still tied to the bed, freaky boy. And we're learning that these nightmares that he is now having, we know last season the nightmares was all about the girl in the box. Now these nightmares seem to be about the killing of Ainsley. And we really don't know what happened, because clearly we see Ainsley in this episode. She's still out being a reporter. We see Malcolm is still out being a profiler for the NYPD. And we see his mom, Jessica, is just living her best life. Now, some of the things that we do learn as the episode goes on, because there's a new killer with this guy in the guillotine, and they're trying to figure that murder out. Now, mind you, I'm not going to focus too much on a guillotine murder, because I like, you know, for some people that have not watched it, go ahead and help figure out that case. Now, what I'm really breaking down on this episode is really figuring out where the hell everybody been, what the hell they been up to, okay? But, you know, I'll give you little tad bits here. There's a guillotine. A lady was killed. Millie was killed guillotine style, and they're trying to figure this out. And of course, Malcolm, being baby boy that he is, and collects murder weapons and knows about like 1900, you know, he's like, oh, well, the last working one is, you know, was in Pennsylvania somewhere. And they're like, oh, well, maybe we could track it down. And of course, Malcolm like, well, the only person that I know who would know about stuff like that, I'll let y'all wait for it. Guess who? Okay, his daddy. Child, his dad know everything about everything. So Malcolm goes to see his dad, Martin, at Claremont. And we see that Martin is in the same cell that he used to be in. However, he got a roommate. He got a cray-cray roommate, okay, that like to watch Looney Tunes all the time and be like, ah! ah, screaming. And we could tell, you know, Martin ain't with that. So we then learn, as Malcolm is there trying to get information from his dad, and his dad's like, you know what? I mean, I don't know if I could tell you that information, son. And Malcolm is like, well, why not? He's like, I'm just not feeling the vibe, but just not feeling the vibe. And the dad is more concerned about Malcolm. And he's like, we're partners. Then we get another flashback, okay? Oh, wait. So let me also tell y'all this. Hold on. Because listen, y'all know I be all over the place with my recaps. So just go with me. Just go with me. Before I tell you the tea that we learned when Malcolm went to see his dad, let me tell you the tea that we learned from the first time Malcolm went saw Ainsley. So after Malcolm was hanging off of the cliff with that guy, they go back to the office, and his sister is a reporter, so she's trying to get the news, and so she's like interviewing JT, but JT is about as dry as a rock. So Ainsley, then we see the first interaction between Ainsley and Malcolm, and Ainsley's just like, I'm really concerned about you. And in my head, I'm like, bitch, I'm really concerned about you. You just killed a guy last season, and you still out here being a reporter. That's just me in my head. So Malcolm has a flashback to the night that Ainsley killed that guy, and Ainsley is covered in blood, and Ainsley is like, what happened? Why is he covered in blood? Why? And Malcolm steps in and says, I did it. Ooh. So we learn that Malcolm has taken the fall for Ainsley. But for real, girl, if Malcolm did it, why you covered in blood and he not covered in blood? But okay, that's another story for another day. So forgot to tell y'all that. Now, when Malcolm goes to see his daddy, Martin Whitley, we learn when Malcolm is trying to abstract information from him about this guillotine, about the guy who, where he can get the guillotine from. First of all, Malcolm Daddy Martin been in jail for about 10 years. How he still know all of this stuff? Okay. But again, another story for another day. So Malcolm like, I need the information. The daddy. I don't know why I like calling Martin the daddy. So anytime I say the daddy, I'm talking about Martin Whitley, the surgeon serial killer. Okay, so let's just do a test. Purple Pants Posse, who I mean when I say the daddy. Okay, y'all got it. Good. Okay, so the daddy is like, I'm not feeling the love. And he's like, we were partners. And so when the daddy, hold on, I ain't say it right. Hold on. When the daddy say we were partners, I'm like, what he mean? Then Malcolm has another flashback, and we learn that the guy that Ainsley killed last season, who Malcolm called the daddy, and the daddy is walking Malcolm through how to get rid of a body. Baby, the daddy, like the daddy, like the son. So I'm like, ooh, so that's T. Now, we also know that the daddy is crazy. And at any given time, the daddy could use this information against Malcolm. So I'm like, that's interesting. So then after they get the information about the guillotine, Malcolm and Danny, you know, his love interest, but they ain't showing no love this episode. They go to this rich guy's house where he has a guillotine in his basement. Why? Okay, let's just start there. Why do you have an active working guillotine in your basement? Okay, another subject for another day that we'll have to get to at another time. So they're like asking the guy, where have you been? He's like, oh, I was at a party. He's like, he reminds me of the guy's house who owns the guillotine. Reminds me of like a young Ozzy Osbourne, that type. So he shows them the guillotine in the basement. And again, I ask, why do you have a guillotine in your basement? But okay, I just... You know, like, why? So they show him the guillotine. The guy was saying that he was at a party over the weekend, so he wasn't there. So he goes, I think he can't figure out how to turn the lights on with something, or I might have been getting a snack. I can't remember where the guy goes, but he goes to get them some information. And Malcolm and JT and Danny looking at the guillotine, and Malcolm has a like radar gun or something. It's kind of like the black light. And when the lights go off, they can see that the guillotine has blood all over it. So we know that this is the guillotine that killed Millie. So when the guy comes back, he's like, what's that? And Malcolm is like, blood. So then they hear like a... Okay, what the hell? So they like, where's that? And Malcolm's like, well, what's below us? And the guy's like, oh, my sex dungeon. Ooh, chalet. Why you got a guillotine in a sex dungeon? This guy just trying to be the freak of the week. So they're like, well, we hear something. Now, mind you, things that also go on in my head. This guy, Ozzy Osbourne type of guy. Bitch, you just came back from wherever you was at. You ain't hear this guy in your basement chained to the wall? Like, why does it wait until Malcolm and Danny come that you hear it? Anyway, they get to the basement. It seems to be a boarded up wall, a brick wall. And they like, there's somebody down here. And so I guess in the olden days, the olden times, like killing by a guillotine is one of the way to kill somebody. And then another way to kill somebody in this like olden age is like you lock them up somewhere and you just let them die. I don't know what that's called, but that's what this killer is doing to this person. So they Malcolm break the wall. They see it is this carpenter guy that is suspected of killing Millie's husband. So Malcolm jump up in there and the guy's chained to the wall, but the chains kind of like can come out a little bit. So he kind of like startles Malcolm. Malcolm falls to the ground. Malcolm tells Danny and Ozzy Osbourne, he's like, go get some water and go call help. Now, the difference in Malcolm this season is that, before I get into what happened down there, is last season there was a sense that Malcolm, he was having these nightmares about the girl in the box, having these nightmares about, like, you know, why he would get so aroused about being killing. Like, it was almost as if, like, he was fighting the fact that his dad's blood was in him, you know? And this season, and maybe this is the reason why I'm not so loving Malcolm. I mean, don't get me wrong, I still love Malcolm. Malcolm, my baby boy. But this season, Malcolm seems to be more on the side of giving in to those aggression urges, like how he was on the balcony with that guy. He welcomed it, like as if he was going to kill the guy. Does the same thing with this carpenter guy that's chained up to the wall. Like, really gets to the point where he is almost like, we don't know what's going to happen. However, he gets the carpenter guy to confess to something. And for those of y'all that watched it, you know what he confessed to. For those of y'all that didn't watch it, you could watch it and figure out what he confessed to, because I don't want to spoil it. I'm just breaking down the character lines of where the people's at. So as he's getting the guy to confess, JT's back and it's like, Malcolm! Because he's literally almost about to kill the guy. And so, you know, we get this information. Also, Malcolm's mom calls him, you know, my girl Jessica Whitley. Now, let me give you the tea on Jessica Whitley. Now, Jessica Whitley is concerned about Malcolm because JT has told, like, Lieutenant A. Roy that she's concerned about him. You know, Ainsley's concerned about him. So, you know, they call the mama and the mom's like, you know, Malcolm, I'm concerned. Like, what's going on? Like, you know, so Malcolm's like, I'm fine, mom. Now, the tea on Jessica is, last season, we learned that her and Lieutenant A. Roy were friendly. Little too friendly over the years. And so that must be, like, you know, Jessica's little boo thing. So Danny, throughout the episode, goes to see Lieutenant A. Roy in the physical therapy. Now, she is wanting Lieutenant A. Roy to get well, get better the first time that she sees him. The second time she sees him is after they have kind of figured out who the killer is, and now they have set this plan up to try to get the killer to come out. Now, she goes to see Lieutenant A. Roy and is just telling him, like, I'm not sure about this plan. And he's like, it's actually a good plan. And for me, the vibes that I got from Danny and Lieutenant A. Roy were almost like lover vibes a little bit. Now, it could have been like, you know, Lieutenant A. Roy is her mentor and she really cares about him, or it could have been like jealous lover kind of vibes. I don't know, but that's just what I got. If any of y'all got that, let me know, because, you know, sometimes I'd be crazy. But she then starts talking about Malcolm's mom, Jessica, and she's like, you know, Lieutenant A. Roy, I learned everything from you. You always were sharp, but the night that you got shot up, you weren't on your A game. And I believe you weren't on your A game because of Jessica Whitley. And, you know, she is like putting blinders up. And I don't really know if it's great for you to be with her. He like, we can't really trust her. You know, the family that she come from. You know who Malcolm did is, you know. And so as she is saying to this, Jessica Whitley is coming up to the physical therapy looking cute. And she hears all of this and she kind of sort of feels some type of way about it. So she doesn't say anything. She just kind of sort of walks away. But that's an interesting storyline that we need to stay focused on, because obviously Jessica has no shame in her game now seeing Lieutenant A. Roy. And now we know that JT ain't a fan of hers. But what I'm trying to figure out is, are you not a fan of her because you feel like she possibly could hurt Lieutenant A. Roy? Or are you not a fan of her because you are in love with Lieutenant A. Roy? Because my thing is, JT, last season, you was all over Malcolm, okay? Don't play with my baby daddy Malcolm, okay? So anyway, back to the other good storyline that we have. So they set this trap for the possible killer. Of course, Malcolm goes home. He's on the phone with Danny, like, I haven't heard anything. And guess who's at Malcolm's house? The killer. He at Malcolm house, and Malcolm and him are talking. Now, you know Malcolm because he's crazy. He got all of these 1800, 1950s weapons in his house because he likes to collect them because, you know, he got that, he like his daddy. Him and the killer start fighting. Malcolm's like, I never hung up the phone, just so you know, so the police will be here any minute. So him and the killer are going at it, but it's not even a fair fight because baby boy been hitting the gym because Malcolm is tearing this guy up. Boop, 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 pop, pop, boop, 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 pop, 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 pop. Malcolm is tearing him up. I mean, it's almost turning me on a little bit. I'm just like, ooh, Malcolm. Anyway, right as Malcolm, what seems to be almost going to kill the guy and enjoy it, Danny comes in with the police and they're like, drop the weapon. And Malcolm's like, he doesn't have a weapon. And Danny like, bitch, I'm talking to you. Now, let's also talk about what happened outside, which what I was saying about how I like the fact that in Prodigal Son, they are bringing to light like storylines that are actually that real things that affect in the real world. So also we heard the daddy talk about why he got moved back to Claremont because of COVID. Now, we know JT is the acting head of major crimes right now. JT is a man of color. He's a big boy. And so when they get outside of Malcolm's house, Danny and like the backup police go upstairs. JT is like, I'll wait for the other people to come. So he's waiting outside and the other police come and the other police are like, put your hands up. And JT like, oh, no, 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 no. I'm a police officer. Like, I'm actually the acting head of major crimes. And, So we get to actually see on the show police brutality of men of color. And JT is actually the acting head of crimes. Okay. And he is standing outside where he has deployed his people. And these other cops come and they see a black man outside and they automatically accuse him of being the suspect. The guy gets up in his face. And to the point where JT kind of like punches him. And then it gets into this big scuffle. And then Malcolm and Danny come and they're like, wait. He's our lieutenant. What are y'all talking about? Child, and piss me off for real. So essentially that was the episode. Then they are back at the office and JT is really concerned that no one's going to take his side and that he was in the wrong. And then Lieutenant Aroy popped back up in the office and he like, listen, JT, I got your back no matter what. Go home, kiss your wife, and we gonna handle this. Okay. Essentially, that's the episode. So when I first watched it, Purple Pants Posse wasn't that into it. However, I'd have to admit the second time that I watched it, I was kind of sort of surprised at a lot of the real life mirrorizations of the real world and like this TV show. And what I found more interesting, and I guess this is what I have to remember, was I wasn't really that into like the murder that was going on in the episode. For me, it was figuring out where the hell everybody had been at. And it's like they tell you the story, but they don't tell it how I want it to be told. You got to pick up on these little notes of what's happening, you know, of Malcolm's flashbacks, of Jessica Whitley going to see Lieutenant Aroy. Like, so that is what I realized. I was like, ooh, that's the juicy part for me. So hope you enjoyed this recap. Let me know if you guys watched Prodigal Son. Let me know if y'all enjoyed it. Let me know what you think. Monday nights, Fox, 9 p.m. Get into it.
It's a purple pants pick. If you hurry up quick, it's a purple pants pick. Yeah.
And we are on to one of my favorite segments of the podcast. That is right. We are at Purple Pants Pick. You pick, I say. Every Saturday to my Instagram, Bryce Isaiah, I will post a photo that says drop your topic or question, and it's the chance you, the listener of the Purple Pants Podcast, to steer the conversation. You want to hear my thoughts, my unfiltered opinions on anything? Just drop your question or topic in the box, and your baby boy got you. Audrey, what we got for the first Purple Pants pick?
The first Purple Pants picks is from Jesse Shim Wei, and they're asking, any beard growing tips? My brother has been struggling with his for years.
Well, what a great purple pants pick. You know, your baby boy has a nice full, luxurious beard. So a couple of tips that I have is that I think it's important to brush your beard on a daily basis, multiple times a day. Sometimes I struggle with this a little bit because I don't be brushing my beard how often that I should. So sometimes my beard looks a little strangly and Wendell's always like, brush your beard. Another good thing is to make sure that you are moisturizing your beard on a daily basis. My sister, she makes me a beard oil and I love it because I get to pick the flavors. So right now I have a lemon mango beard oil that I use, and my sister mixes essential oils and vitamin E. Vitamin E is really important for your beard oil. And you know, you want to make sure that you lather your beard. You make sure that you're getting the skin underneath your beard. And you know, you want to just make sure your beard sucks it in. And that you brush your beard every day. For me, I not necessarily love having a beard. Don't get me wrong. I make your baby boy look sexy. A lot of the times growing up, I didn't really want a beard. I liked just having like a little goatee. But men of color like myself, we have this issue with ingrown hairs. Our natural hair is a kinky hair and curly. So if I don't wear a beard, you'll see a lot of men of color that have like bumps on their face. And that's literally like ingrown hairs. And me, I don't play. So when I do wear a clean shaven face, I pluck those ingrown hairs, which sometimes can be annoying. To just have to continue to like pluck them so you don't get those bumps. So that's the real reason why I wear a beard. I know that rosemary oil, peppermint oil, vitamin E, and tea tree are good oils that you can buy, essential oils. And if you're buying essential oils, make sure that you buy the ones that are like 100% essential oils and that they come in glass bottles. That's how you know you're getting the real stuff. Because anything that's in a plastic bottle, 9 times out of 10, it's going to have chemicals and stuff that you don't really need. So if you get you a nice little mixture, or tell your brother to get a nice little mixture of rosemary oil, peppermint oil, vitamin E, tea tree, mix that together and apply that to your face every day. Brush your hair, brush your beard, I think can really help to grow. You can get a hair and nail vitamin, and some people takes a lot longer. So you just have to tell your brother to be patient. He might have to go through that patchy stage, but if he continues with his regular, you know, routine of getting his face together, brushing his hair, I think that he could be successful. But you just have to tell him it's not an overnight process. It's something that's going to take a while and he's got to be committed to it. But that was a great one. Audge, what's the next purple pants pick?
Derek Derome, 1193, is asking, are you going to get Discovery Plus?
Now, you know your baby boy is on a limited budget. Okay, I don't got another. Well, how much is this? $4.99. Now, I might do the 7-day trial. I looked it up and I see that it has like the channels of HGTV, the Food Network, TLC, the ID channel, OWN, A&E, History Channel, a lot of channels that I do watch. But baby, I just don't know if it's in the budget. However, a couple of months ago, I really said that I wanted to pull the plug on cable because my cable bill for my house, and it's literally just me, my cable and my internet, it's literally like $250 a month. So in actuality, this really could be a good avenue considering it's only $7 a month, and I'm willing to pay up to like $50 a month for TV. So it actually could be something in my regimen to have like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, and this. So it's something that I should actually look into, because I've been saying for a while that I'm so tired of paying this expensive cable bill for half of the shows I don't even watch. So as of now, probably not, but I definitely did write this on a list of things, because a while ago I asked you guys, what do you guys use? And you guys gave me so many helpful hints, and so I just added Discovery Plus to that list because I just have to do the math and, you know, get some structure in my life and really kind of make that decision to cut cable, because cable is too expensive. And I really feel like in a couple of years, cable is going to be obsolete with all of these streaming programs. But again, let me know what y'all use in replace of cable. See, my issue is I need the DVR. I need to be able to DVR the shows that I like to watch, so that in the event that I can't watch them when they come on, I can watch them at my leisure. So that's just me. What y'all doing? What's the next purple pants pick?
John Rules is asking, what do you do to celebrate MLK?
Great question, John. For me, as a black man in America, I celebrate MLK every day. Okay. I like to think that I want to be a living, breathing example of what Dr. Martin Luther King was fighting for. But here we are 50 years later, and you listen to his I Have a Dream speech, and we are still right where he was at. But for me, I always try to do a day of service some way, somehow, in my own community. So what I actually did this Monday was I cleaned out some of my closets because I have so much clothes. And this quarantine has really shown me, baby, I wear the same clothes all the time. So I got together about 4 or 5 big bags and I took them to the Goodwill, which there's one right near my house. Sometimes I don't really like taking it to the Goodwill because I feel like it gets lost. However, then I drove downtown to this homeless shelter called Sunday's Breakfast and I went to give clothes to them. But they were saying that due to COVID, they're not taking donations, which was kind of confusing to me. I understand it, but you can let these clothes sit for 3 days and then give it out. But actually, on my way home from Sunday's Breakfast, it's on Spring Garden Street in Philadelphia. Any of you guys that are familiar? And on like Spring Garden Street, like if you drive down like 12th or 13th Street, it's kind of a row of homeless people. So I actually literally, I pulled up to like maybe 2 people. I was like, do y'all need anything? And I literally just, I had a bag left that I was going to drop off. I dropped it out there and they seemed to be very grateful. So I just, you know, did my little part. Yeah, that's what I did. Let me know what you guys did on your day for Martin Luther King Day. What is the next Purple Pants pick?
Lil_girl_ocean_ is asking, did y'all have to use the restroom in the forest or did you have a toilet?
Hey, Lil_Lil_girl_ocean. Hey. So there were, we did not have access to a bathroom. I was on the show called Survivor. So yeah, no, we actually, you could go in the forest, if you needed to go. But the most sanitizing or sanitary way to use the bathroom was to actually go into the ocean, to go pee. And if you had to do a number two, we called it aqua dumping. Sometimes in the middle of the night, I don't know if I can't remember if I've ever told this story, but in the middle of the night, if you had to go to the bathroom, it's pitch black. And so we have like a med box where it was like a clear path that they would keep if anybody had to take medication or if there were like you got a cut or something, they would keep Neosporin there. Baby, a couple of times when I was out there for them 11 days, baby, I peed near the med box. And it would always be so funny because we would wake up in the morning and sometimes the aroma of pee, somebody would be like, somebody's peeing near the med box. And I would be like, that is nasty. Whoever is doing that needs to stop it, LJ or Jeremiah. Really, it was me. But listen, because I wasn't walking down to the ocean in the middle of the night. And I was not going into the woods in the middle of the night. I just followed that clear little path near the med box. And I went, but shh, don't tell nobody. What's the next Purple Pants pick?
Jules.Wilcox416 is asking, would love to hear about your running routine.
Hey, Jules. So I'll be honest. My running routine is, it is me trying to just get back to getting a running routine. I think with COVID really has just discouraged my love of running. And for me, I like to run for exercise. And me, running is a form of therapy. And when the world was open and I was working my 4 or 5 jobs, I would always be like, when I get home, I'm going to go run. It was sort of a release for me. I'm finding it difficult to kind of get into the routine of running, being as though I'm home, working from home. But over the last like 2 weeks, I've been making a goal to myself that, like, you know, at least 2 times, 3 times a week, I'm going to get out, I'm going to go running. And any runners out there that are listening, you know what it's like when you've taken a break and you are getting back out there. So I'm trying to not be hard on myself because my first run, like 2 weeks ago, baby, Listen, I didn't even run a quarter of what I thought I was going to run, but I still was very proud of myself for like, listen, baby boy, you got out there, you did it. Then the next time I ran, I was able to run a little farther. It was a little easier. And each time that I run, it is getting a lot better. So my normal running routine is I try to run like every other day. And I'm not one of those runners that like try to beat their time or their distance. I literally get out and I run. I don't set necessarily a distance. I'll go to a specific place and then I'll go. And I really will just kind of listen to my body. Cause for me, running is great exercise, but it's also just a way for me to like clear my mind. It's also a way for me to like release anxiety, stress. I'm able to just talk to myself. So that's really, what is important for me in regarding to running. But I think that you need to set a schedule. Like, you know what? I'm going to go this day. I'm going to go this day. And you got to really keep on it. And don't beat yourself up if you are trying to go for time or for distance. Just allow yourself to get back into the zhuzh of running. And that's really where I am right now. Like last week, I ran two times a week, or two times. Last week, I ran twice. And so this week, my goal is to at least run two times and try to get to three times. But I'm being very gentle with myself because I realize that I'm slowly getting back. And sometimes I hold myself to where I was at the peak of my running when I was running almost every day. And I'm like, baby boy, you need to get like, but I'm like, you know what? I'm getting structure in my life and I'm loving myself like I would love someone else. And I'm just giving myself compassion and I'm actually cheering myself on the fact that and congratulating myself, the fact that I actually got out there to go running. So that's really kind of where I'm at on my journey of running. I'm dating running again. I'm trying to fall back in love with it. But let me know what you guys are at and what your activity level with running is at. And how do you guys get back into running after you've taken a slight hiatus from it? I'd love to hear. All right, Arch, what's the next Purple Pants pick?
The one and only Sarah is asking, have you heard about the Soho Karen story?
Yes, the one and only Sarah, I have. And if you guys haven't, let me give you a little tea. So there is a legendary, I believe he is a jazz trumpet player, Keon Harold. And he was in New York for the holidays with his 14-year-old son, Keon Harold Jr. And they were staying at the Arlo Hotel, I believe in Soho. And Keon and his son were getting off the elevator, coming down for breakfast, and a young lady who allegedly lost her cell phone saw Keon Harold Jr. with a cell phone and accused him of that he had her cell phone and was actually very aggressive with it. She got the manager involved. The manager was approaching Keon and his son, saying just asking them to show proof that it was his phone. The lady was very agitated, and shout out to Keon Harold, the way that he handled it. Like, no, my son does not have to prove to you that this is his phone. I'm his father. And so as they were walking away, she got agitated. She literally attacked the 14-year-old, jumped on him to the ground. Shout out to the dad, because the dad batted her off, as he should, protecting his child. And it was this whole big internet sensation 2 weeks ago. Come to find out that Soho Karen left her phone in an Uber, and it was returned to her a couple of days later. And there was a petition online because she should be arrested for assaulting a 14-year-old. And the way that the Arlo Hotel handled it was very poorly, in my opinion. The manager, who seemed to be on the side of the young lady, who was a white lady. She actually might not have been white, but she appeared to be Caucasian. And obviously this 14-year-old black male, who he might be tall, but he's only 14. And it really just kind of hit home for me because my godson Peyton, who's only 12, who happens to be 6'4", like, you know, y'all might see a tall black man, but still just a child. And the way that the hotel manager was asking questions to Keon and his son, one, Keon and his son were patrons of the hotel. They were currently staying at the hotel. Soho Karen stayed at the hotel like a week ago. So she wasn't even a patron to the hotel. Okay. And one, if you work in the hotel industry, you know, I have a part-time job. I work at a hotel. Your one and only job is to keep your hotel guests safe. And so the way that the hotel manager was saying that he was trying to de-escalate the situation, but in actuality, he was empowering the Soho Karen in her behavior. And just, again, this America that we live in, where there seems to be a double standard for black people, that we, if we're walking down in a hotel and someone loses their cell phone, so they see a young black male with a cell phone, and it automatically has to be hers, and he has to prove himself that it's his cell phone. Like, no, baby, we don't have to do that. That ain't how that works. And so I was actually really, really happy to learn that, I'm not sure if it's like the New York District Attorney, but they filed charges. Then the issue was, we couldn't find her. No one knew where she was at. And that was another thing that was wondering me, if New York has pressed charges, why is the hotel not giving up the information? However, they found her. She was in California. She did an interview with Gail and was disrespectful to Gail. Any of y'all saw that video where she was like, enough. But she was arrested and then later bailed out. But just another common case of being black in America. And, you know, even doesn't matter the age. And I just, my thoughts and prayers go out to Keon and his son. And I know the son's mother posted on her Instagram just talking about the traumatic events for her son and what it's been like for him and how he's been struggling. So I really hope that everything is well with Keon's son and that he really understands that he did nothing wrong in this situation, and that, you know, sometimes in life we have to deal with unfair things, but it does not make it right. And I hope that he heals from this situation. Let me know if you guys have heard of this Soho Karen. What is the next, or what's the final Purple Pants pick, Audrey?
Travis _ VBX would love to hear your thoughts on some of the terrorists that stormed our Capitol, getting served organic food and being released on house arrest.
Whew. Okay, Purple Pants Posse. I see y'all saving the good picks for the last couple of ones. It just infuriates me, the fact that there is a double standard in this country. A double standard. We have mass incarceration throughout this country of our black and brown people. We hear about the treatments of what it's like to be in jail, we in prison, the food that they get served, and nothing gets done about it. And, you know, it's just a for profit for prison. And here we have these domestic terrorists that storm our Capitol, commit treason, kill police, and they refuse to eat the food that is served. And the mom goes on and says her son only eats organic food. And here we have a judge that orders that he gets organic food. I'm just like, huh? What, when, where, and why? Now, I can understand if we are saying he doesn't eat certain foods for religious reasons. I'm fine. But he doesn't eat When I say that there are two Americas, there are two Americas. When I say that there is white privilege, there is white privilege. And I always get people say like, oh, that's not true. Baby, it is true. Let's just call a thing a thing. Then we've got the other insurgent that broke into, I believe it was Nancy Pelosi's. I can't remember if it's the one that put his foot on the desk of Nancy Pelosi and wrote her the letter, or it was the one carrying the Confederate flag through the Capitol. They were found. Well, they were let go, because we know that the police let the insurgents just go. We know that if they were black and brown people, they wouldn't have let them go. But whatever. Let them go. Free. Go home. Do what you need to do. And then they get arrested and he is allowed to be placed on house arrest. On house arrest. Baby, what? Now, if, again, I just always say, if these terrorists were Muslim terrorists, if these terrorists were from Afghanistan, if these terrorists were black, do you think they would be allowed to go on house arrest after storming our Capitol, killing a Capitol police officer? I mean, it's just mind-boggling to me. And And we want to make excuses for people. You know, you want, oh, but when Black Lives Matter protests are in this country and we are protesting for the fair treatment of people of color, okay? We want to be treated equal. That's what we're protesting about. We're protesting about life or death. We're protesting about the police killing unarmed people of color at an alarming rate. And y'all want to get the National Guard out there. Y'all want to be treating us like animals. But here we are having these terrorists that I guess were of the right persuasion and color that they could just storm the Capitol, leave, go home, get organic food given to them, placed on house arrest. But yet the killers of Breonna Taylor don't get charged. Yet these police kill unarmed Black children and men and women, and they don't even prosecute them. Baby, it's a lot. So that's how I feel about it. It's if we live in two different worlds. And for me, I see it. I just always am so confused at people that make excuses and don't want to see a baby call a thing, because that's step one as to how we start fixing the problem, is calling a thing, calling it for what it is, the unfair treatment of Black and brown people. And this is a perfect example of, we see how they are being treated. We see how our court of laws are treating them as compared to our Black and brown brothers and sisters. Whoo, baby. But just end on that note, y'all.
And just a reminder, if your pick didn't get picked this week, do not worry. Every Saturday on Bryce's Instagram and Twitter at Bryce Isaiah, that's BRICEIZYAH, Bryce posts the Purple Pants picks, and it's your chance as the listener to get your pick in. Tune in next week to see if your Purple Pants pick was picked.
It's time for advice given to you by Bryce. It's time for advice with Bryce.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Advice with Bryce. Here we are once again, and we're going to get into this week's submission for Advice with Bryce. Hello, Bryce, and Happy New Year. I hope you continue to grow your audience in 2021 and you can finally leave your corporate job. I'm hoping you can give me some advice. I am a 50-year-old male that owns his home. I recently let my brother come and stay with me. He pays his rent on time and we get along well. But here's the issue. My brother is in a relationship and wants his girlfriend to spend the night over. I am not in a relationship and I don't feel comfortable with someone of the opposite sex staying overnight. I haven't said anything yet because I wanted to hear your opinion. Any advice you can give me would be extremely helpful. Thank you, Derek.
Thanks, Nasir. And hey, Derek, thanks for writing in for Advice with Bryce. So I've got some thoughts and opinions. I'm not sure if you are going to agree, but it is my job to, you know, give you my unfiltered truth and what I think about the situation. So I think that it's amazing that you are allowing your brother to stay in your home and he is paying rent. You said in the message that he pays his rent on time and that you guys get along fine. So, in my mind, he's a tenant. And if he is renting space in your home, I feel like he should be able to do with the space as he pleases with some parameters, I'll say. So, with him wanting his girlfriend to come over and spend the night, I don't necessarily see an issue with it. I think that it is appropriate. Now, I could see if you are concerned that it will turn into a situation where the girlfriend might be over all of the time, then that's a conversation that should be had. But I do think that it's only fair that he would be allowed to bring his girlfriend over to your home. You guys are both adults, and I think that it should be a conversation. So I can understand your leniency with not wanting him to have his girlfriend over and in your home and in your space. But you need to realize that when you opened your home up to your brother and he is paying rent, that it's not just your space anymore. It's his space. And I think that you guys should come to a common ground. Now, I will say this, that I know that you said in your message that you don't have a girlfriend and that you're not in a relationship. And I just wonder, could maybe the reason why you are uncomfortable with having his girlfriend over, because it could make you uncomfortable in the sense that it might be a reminder that you're not in a relationship. And so I think that it's important to kind of check your feelings. Just know that this has nothing to do with your brother and everything to do with yourself. And it could be a good thing for you that maybe it really kind of illuminates the fact that you're not in a relationship. Maybe you want to be in a relationship, and seeing that makes you almost jealous. And that's okay, because that's a real feeling and a real emotion. And sometimes when we get those feelings and emotions, we don't listen to them. We put excuses on them, and you know, the way that it is exhibited is that I don't want my brother to have a girl over, like, you know, almost like a hateration a little bit, like, I don't want no girl over my house. So I think if you take a step back and think about it in the sense that, well, first of all, think about what the real issue is, because one, y'all, you're 50, so I'm assuming your brother, I'm not sure if he's older or younger, but so, yeah, like, you know, we're adults, you know, we know that people spend time with other people. We know that people, if they're in a relationship, they like to sleep in the same bed. They like to be around each other. So that, I mean, that's given. And so really just thinking about and unpacking what the girlfriend signifies what the girlfriend amplifies in you. And so again, it could maybe highlight that you're not in a relationship and maybe making you feel some type of way. So I think that it's important for you to address those issues with yourself. And if you come to that conclusion, then maybe it's, well, what can I do to put myself out there to work on my situation? Again, taking everything away from your brother and really kind of putting everything back on you and working on yourself. But given the situation at hand, I think that you should allow your brother to have his girlfriend over with limitations. And that's the conversation that you guys as brothers should have. And again, you open your house up to your brother. So it's, you guys are sharing the house. And so it shouldn't just be your demands, even though it should be because it's your house, but be fair and open. And have an open conversation with your brother about, like, hey, this makes me uncomfortable a little bit, but I understand that that's your girl and I want to be open. So hear what he has to say, and maybe even sharing your feelings to your brother maybe could make him a little bit more sympathetic and maybe think twice about having his girlfriend over. Or it just an organic conversation that you guys as brother can have with each other and figure out how you want to move forward. But I definitely think you should allow your brother to have his female friend over. He's paying rent. You guys have a great relationship, and just talk about it. Maybe you guys can figure out when the best time, that maybe when you're not home, that he could bring his girlfriend over or something. Or, you know, the fact that it's not something that's constant, that she's not staying more than 4 days or three, like, you know, figure whatever that is out, but also really figure out what it is about him having the girlfriend over that triggers something in you. And this really could be eye opening and beneficial for you to be able to kind of deal with some unpacking some stuff in you. And that could really be good. So I'm so glad that you were able to share that with me. I hope that this advice with Bryce helps. Please DM me back so we can, I would love to kind of further talk about this and maybe unpack or just hear what your thoughts on it. But I, in my opinion, I would be open to having my brother's girlfriend come over. And again, I even thinking about it in my life, if, you know, I shared a home with my brother and his girlfriend came over and I'm single, you know, just the fact to knowing that they in the room together would make me feel lonely and really kind of like illuminate the fact that I'm not in a relationship. So I think, again, you just taking that and really applying it to yourself and really figuring out what makes you uncomfortable about the situation, and then applying some action to that, to maybe saying, hey, maybe I need to put myself out there. Maybe I need to do this. Maybe I need to do that. So it really could be a life lesson for you. And you could really get the most from it. So I appreciate this advice of Bryce. It was great. I really hope that it helped.
And once again, if you feel like you need advice with Bryce, please do not hesitate to reach out to the Purple Pants Podcast. You can contact Bryce at purplepantspodcast@gmail.com.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
And we are on to this week's Freak of the Week, baby. But listen, if any of you guys watched my YouTube channel this week or last week at Bryce Isaiah, then it should be no surprise who the Freak of the Week is, baby. So I ain't even going to hold it. Listen, it's Ozzy Lust, okay? If you don't know, last week I did a YouTube review of Ozzy Lust OnlyFans, baby. He let it all hang out. And so, he couldn't be it last week because we had to give it to the good brother Eugene Goodman. But this week, we could give it to our Ozzy. Okay. Now, I was saying on the OnlyFans, he ain't really showing a lot of action, not a lot of videos. And, baby, the DMs that I was getting that was saying, listen, Bryce, you got to watch Ozzy's pay-per-view. You got to go to the pay-per-view. Cost a little bit more, but they said in the pay-per-view, Ozzy is slinging the slang. I said, ooh, chalet. So, get this. I'm minding my business over the weekend, and my phone rings. And it's, and it's Ozzy. I'm like, oh, my God. It's Ozzy. I'm like, hello? He's like, hey, Bryce. I'm like, oh, he know my name. Hey, Ozzy. He's like, yeah, I see you reviewing the OnlyFans on the YouTube. I love it. I'm like, Ozzy. He's like, no, seriously, I appreciate it. I'm just wanting to know, any feedbacks you can give me for my OnlyFans. Now, mind you, in my head, I'm like, bitch, Ozzy, you want feedback from me? So, in all honesty, I did give Ozzy some feedback. I said, I think your OnlyFans is great. I think it's classy. It shows enough. It shows whatever. But I said, baby, the fans, okay? And by the fans, I mean the gays. We want to see more videos. You don't have to be nasty videos, but make some more videos. Okay? And I'm like, Ozzy, just so you know, I'm sure women love you, but just be very clear that I'm sure about 85% of them people that's watching them pay-per-view videos and your OnlyFans are men, probably gay men, so speak to the gay men. Not, you don't have to speak to us, but I'm saying maybe show some content that they want to see. And he's like, Bryce, that's a really good, I've never looked at it like that. And I'm just really fascinated, by the people that find me attractive. I love it. And I'm like, well, baby, listen. Okay, you easy on the eyes, Ozzy. So he was really open to my ideas. And so I was just like, yes, how can I not love Ozzy Lust anymore? Then I pitched Ozzy another idea that I said, listen, Ozzy, you can make some content. We don't have to make no pay-per-view content, but we could, take some risque photos and break the internet. And Ozzy thought it was a great idea. So listen, when this corona thing is over, baby, I'm on a first jet smoking to L.A. Baby, and I'm getting me my photos with Ozzy. So, yes, Ozzy is the freak of the week. Please go to that Twitter. Please go to that Instagram and let Ozzy know he is the freak of the week. And you would live for some Bryce and Ozzy content. Let him know you would live for some Bryce and Ozzy content. Let him know you would live. You would live. You would live for some Bryce and Ozzy content. Well, listen, if Ozzy Lust is the freak of the week, that means we are coming to an end of another amazing episode. Thank you so much. Please make sure you subscribe to my podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. Make sure you write a review. Write a review, please. And thank you. Give your baby boy some 5 stars. Put some structure in your life and tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell Ozzy that Issa, Issa, Issa. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.